You're listening to Wheelationships.
And you have your handout this morning as we finish up this. This ties in well to where we're going the next 3 weeks. And actually, the title probably could be adjusted a little bit. Things God Never Said. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah, it kind of does. But really, the things that God never said was, I make everything happen for a reason. Okay? So everything happens for a reason. Not so much. This week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was at a funeral. We mentioned last week, Mandy Willis, who is a preschool director at Faith Academy, Faith's preschool. Her son Travis just turned 17 and was hit by a car and passed away. And so they had his funeral yesterday. It's particularly in tragedies like that we hear some words that are attributed to God that He didn't say. In significant losses, it could be a death, it could be a serious illness or something going on, and often it's Christians that come out with this, well, it's like God says, you know, I make everything happen for a reason. Well, no, He didn't say that. But it's kind of the way we're built. We like reasons, right? We like to know if something happens, why? Why is this going on? Why is this happening to my friend? Why is this happening to the people I care about? Why is it happening to me? We like there to be a reason and significance and something behind what happens. So for those of us that believe in God and trust Him with our lives, we want to believe that the reason is that God is doing something significant. We want to believe that when something happens, we lose a loved one or cancer strikes, or so, that God has this reason that He is doing something and He's pushing the buttons and causing this, and somehow this plan of His is all going to work in the end and we're good. And there's one verse in particular that people like to use. In fact, this verse was used yesterday. And I'm going to say some things about the pastor. He used this verse, and it may sound like I'm being critical of him. I'm not at all. He used it with great intent, and I believe people were encouraged by the message. He did a great job with the. It was a great service. But he used this verse, and as soon as he started using it, I started fidgeting. And Trudy looked at me, and I was like, ugh! And I said, I'm talking about this tomorrow, and he's doing exactly what I'm going to be talking about. And in fact, before I went, I just kind of knew this was going to come out, and it did. And here's how it reads in the King James Version. You have it in your notes. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, if you don't understand the phraseology of 17th century English, you might get a little confused about this, because this sounds a lot like God is behind it all. It sounds like maybe He's creating some magical stew to fulfill a plan He has. It can sound like everything has a reason and God is behind every reason. And in fact, that was kind of how the pastor was using it. This happened for a reason, and it was God's reason, and He's, you know. Even in a more modern translation that's not 17th century English, it can sound, we use the New Living Translation a lot, and it sounds pretty much the same. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. So when something bad happens, we'll hear a lot of time, well, everything has a reason. You know, God has a reason for everything. And it's meant to be encouraging. It's meant to be helpful. I get that. But there are other similar things that people say in much the same way when something bad happens. Things like, well, someday you'll be glad this happened because God must be up to something good. Okay. Or, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. Or, you must be very special for God to trust you with this difficulty or sickness or pain or death or whatever it is, as if it's some kind of privilege or blessing that you're going through this bad thing. And not that anybody else wants that blessing. So you know, when they say it to you, it's not like they're going, and can I be blessed that way too? No, I don't want that. But there's some truth here. God is good, right? God is good. And he is up to something, and he doesn't make mistakes. And most assuredly, like we talked a couple of weeks ago, God does have a plan for your life. He doesn't have a blueprint. Gentry might, Milton, but that's beside the point. But that doesn't mean he's the cause of the bad stuff that happens. It doesn't mean that bad things happen because God wants them to, or because God, it fits into God's plan, and that's why it happened. The NIV translate this probably as good as any. It's there in your notes as well. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We want to know that God is in control, right? And Trudy and I were talking after the service, after the funeral, about this, that we want to know, it's a comfort to know that God is in control, and he is. And we want to know that he's not just standing by, helplessly watching as circumstance or events take place. And we don't want him to be standing there and going, oh, twiddling his thumbs, going, I don't know what I can do. You know, he's God. He's sovereign. Here's the thing, though. If we're determined to think that God is not only sovereign, meaning that he has all power, but that his sovereignty means that whatever he wants, he gets, then it's going to lead us to some very poor thinking and poor ways of acting. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He has all power, but he does not cause everything. Many things he allows, even though they're not his wish or desire. You have to distinguish between what God causes and what he allows, what he prefers and what he permits. Here's a short list of things that God did not cause, but he allowed. He did not prefer this, but he permitted. Short list. He did not cause Lucifer to rebel. He did not cause Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. He did not cause David to fornicate with Bathsheba. He did not kill Abel. He did not build the Tower of Babel. He did not coerce the crowd into choosing Barabbas or stoning Stephen. He didn't cause you to cheat on your taxes, break the speed limit this morning on the way to church, or to speak harshly to your spouse or your children. He didn't cause you to buy that losing lottery ticket, right? He didn't cause it. He may have allowed it. He didn't prefer it, but he may have permitted it. Adam tried to pin his circumstances on God. Didn't work. Genesis 3. The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Okay? Didn't fly. Okay? So, question is, what's the reason this happened? Why did it happen? Why am I going through this? Why is this going on? Well, there are different reasons. And really, Pastor has talked about this. I think you know him, but this is a good refresher this morning, I think, because there are three or four basic ones. First one is self-inflicted wounds. If you get enough traffic tickets and you ignore them, eventually you may have a problem. Okay? That's a self-inflicted wound. Okay? No, God didn't cause that. Don't bother asking God, why are you letting this happen to me? Because he's likely to ask, because that's what you wanted to happen. We choose things, We self-inflict wounds. And then we go, God, why did you do this to me? I didn't do it. You did. And you chose for it to happen. So who am I to, you know, take away your freedom? So self-inflicted wounds. We do it ourselves. Sometimes it's not sin on our part. It's because we live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world. Bad people do bad things. And a lot of times when bad people do bad things, it's good people that get hurt. And you say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, because there are bad people in the world. And sometimes, a lot of times when bad people do bad things, good people get hurt. One of the first stories you have after the fall of Adam and Eve was a bad person killing a good person. Very first one. And sin entering the world not only affects the choices and the decisions of people, it corrupts every part of creation. What we call natural events, like the weather and other things that we call natural disasters, came because of sin. Romans says it, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we're all kinds of natural stuff that happens that just is part of sin entering the world. And then sometimes we just make stupid choices. Not sinful choices. Not talking about you do something that's sin. You do something that's just dumb. Like waiting till the night before Mother's Day to go pick out a card and expecting there to be a lot of cards there. Okay? I hope none of you did that because that would be dumb. I did not do that. Okay? Got it way ahead. Thinking. All right? May have waited years past and that was dumb. But hey, I was on top. Okay? You do dumb things, you reap the consequences of that. On Valentine's, I don't know, I may have told you this already. I went on Valentine's Day this year. I went that night. I mean, we had already celebrated Valentine's Day, did the whole thing, and, you know, showing the love. I went over to Publix that evening. I needed something. I don't remember what it was, ice cream or something. I don't know what it was. Went over to Publix, and it's like 9. And I'm walking out of the store, and I saw not one. I saw two guys walking out of Publix with bouquets of balloons, Valentine's balloons. It's 9 o'clock Valentine's evening. I'm like, really? Okay. I hope you're taking those balloons home because you need entertainment because you ain't getting any other. Okay. Think ahead. All right. Proverbs, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. Of course, the stupid choices may be somebody else's too. And sometimes, again, we reap from other people's stupid choices. To lay the blame on God when something happens bad isn't just wrong, it's harmful. And here are some potentially harmful things. You say, why is this important? Well, there's some potentially harmful things that we cause in our own lives and the lives of others when we take this attitude that God is making all this happen. Just this week, I read this article by a guy. I follow people that talk about computers and stuff, and he's a computery guy. And he posted online an article because he had been diagnosed with, he has stage 4 cancer of some sort. He had kept it secret, and now he was, you know, giving his advice to people on what to say and what not to say to people when they're going through this. And he said this: I am an atheist. I do not believe in a loving God. I was born with spina bifida, which has made my life difficult and painful in ways that, were I to describe them all to you, you might think I was exaggerating for effect. Yet this is my real life, and I've lived with it for longer than I have known you. If I were to believe in God, I would tend to think of him as a malign, sadistic thug because my childhood was a terrible torment of multiple surgeries and social alienation. Later on, he says, so I ask this in the strongest possible terms. Do not urge me to get right with God before I die. No matter what, you will only succeed in making me angry. And I thought that's sad because his view of God as being causing all of life's struggles has made him not only have pain throughout his life, but now throughout his eternity as well. And there is the very real possibility that when we pin things as the reason they happen, we pin them on God, that we have unjustified anger at God, such as this guy, and in others who don't know God. Say, really? Your God's behind this? Well, I don't like that. You know, he's making this happen for a reason? Really? Well, I don't like it. I don't like the reason. In our attempts to find comfort, we might inadvertently hand ammo to the enemy. That's why I was squirming at the funeral yesterday. The pastor had said, we wish Travis was still with us, but, and I quote, God must have had another plan. And I was like, no. Okay. I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure God's smart enough to have a plan that doesn't include killing a 17-year-old. Pretty sure. Okay. And I know what he was saying, but we have to be careful. And the pastor described what a solid young man he was and how much he loved God, because he did, and how he'd been used to witness to people and bring people to God. And he said, well, perhaps Travis' death may challenge more people to give their hearts to God, which is all true. And then he went on and he said, maybe that's the reason. I went, no. I'm thinking, you're saying he loved God and he died at 17 to influence other people so they give their life to God and be killed early too? Is that what you're saying, really? Because I don't think that's what you're saying. But that's the ammo we give to other people when we use that reasoning. So we just have to be careful again. Again, the pastor was trying to bring comfort and encouragement, and I think he really did to the vast majority of people that were there. Like I say, it was a good funeral. But can you see where that line of reasoning kind of falls short? Because it does. Another potentially harmful result is making light of sin. Why make a big deal about sin or its consequences if God is pulling the strings and he's going to fix everything at the end anyway? Right? I mean, why be concerned about sin if, you know, God is working for good and he's causing all this to happen for good anyway? I've kind of heard this reasoning from people, you know, when they do something either sinful or dumb, or others do, and they go, well, but it's all good because, you know, God's gonna make it good. And I go, well, you know, why what's the big deal about sex outside marriage if God's, you know, putting me with my soulmate? You know, what's the big deal about pregnancy before marriage is God has given me such a beautiful child? What's the big deal about any choice I make if God's master plan is working out just like he intended? Well, this is where we need to go back to Romans 8. You find that verse in the NIV again and look a little closer what it really says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And it's like we translate this, in all things, God works for the good of those he loves. And that's not what it says. I got music. Sorry. Oh, it's you. I thought it was a speaker. It's all right. I wasn't going to sing along. It's like we read that verse and we say, well, God is working for the good of those he loves. Not even close, because God loves everyone. But it says he works for the good of those who love him. John 14 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And not just that, but those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, Scripture tells us more about them as well. Romans 1 says, and you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. See, there's this thing of being his holy people. That's what we're called to be. And when we love him and we pursue him in his holiness, that's part of being his love. We're called to be holy. So we know that if we love God and if we're following the purpose to which he has called us, if we're living to be holy and honor God, we can know that God is diligently working for our good. However, if we do not love God, if we're not living for him, if we're not trusting him and with our lives, if we're making sinful and invalid choices and we're not honoring him, we've got no guarantees here. So to say to somebody that doesn't know God, well, God's working for your good. Well, okay. Sin causes separation and is very serious, and we shouldn't make light of it. Along with the danger of making light of sin, there's also the danger of embracing irresponsibility. You know, we're just going to let go and let God. Okay, well, if God says let go, that's fine. But if you're hanging by your fingernails on a ledge and he doesn't say let go, then I wouldn't let go. Okay? I'd hang on. Like we said a couple weeks ago, you're not going to hear the voice of God in every decision. You're not going to hear the voice of God in everything. But that doesn't mean that you should ignore wise counsel. We've used this verse several times, Proverbs 22, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precaution. The simpleton goes on blindly on and suffers the consequences. And if we say, you know, God has a reason for everything, so boom, I'm just going to go wildly down the path without having any wisdom whatsoever, I don't think that may work out well for you. Finally, making God the determiner of every reason for our circumstances can result in misplaced hope. See, I totally, totally understand why we assign the reason for our circumstances to God. Because we see that as a comfort. Like I said, we see it that he's in control, and if he has created our circumstances, then that means that he will also at some point change our circumstances. If he's responsible for them, then we can trust him to change them. And the problem is that we then put our hope in our changing our circumstances. We say, well, you know, God's going to take this away from me at some point. God's going to change this. God's going to, you know, fix it, because obviously, if he's the reason, he's going to fix it. And then when the circumstances don't change, we sit there and we go, well, God, why did you fail? Why didn't my circumstances change? A little bit like what Pastor's talking about. No, not what Pastor. I got two sermons in my head. What you're going to hear next week. That's where I heard it. Sorry. You're going to hear a little bit about this next week. And he said he would work for our good, and that might have nothing to do with our circumstances. Our response must be obedience, not only if they go our way, but when they don't. 2 Timothy says, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we're unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And this points us to a very important truth, and this is really where I'm going with all this. If we believe that God directly orchestrates everything for an ultimately good purpose, we will spend a lot of time looking for that purpose. If we're living our lives and we're thinking that God does, he is doing everything for a purpose, that he's orchestrating it, that everything that's happening is because God's making it happen, then we're going to start looking for why that's happening. Okay, I don't understand God. And we'll sit there and we'll kind of stew on it. The problem is that, as Scripture shows us, God isn't behind everything. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's other things. And he didn't make it happen. And since that's true, that means we're not always going to find his purpose, because it's not his purpose at work. You follow that? We get stuck because we spend all our time looking for that purpose, and it wasn't God. He didn't do it. And so we get stuck there. And when we can't find it, we either despair, we go, God, oh, you failed me, or we make up our own purposes. We go, well, this must be what he was doing. This must be what he was doing. I know what he was doing. He was doing this, and we sign all kinds of things to God, and we make up our own definition of what it is, and we'll find the silver lining even if it's not there. That's not faith. That's delusion. Okay? seeing things that aren't there, that's delusional. We don't want to be that way. When bad things happen, it's not helpful to look for God's reason if God wasn't the cause. Sometimes God is the cause. Absolutely. I'm not saying that he's never the cause. He is the cause of a lot of things in life, but sometimes he's not. Sometimes it happens because of these other things. And when we start looking for the reason and he's not the cause, that's not helpful. What is helpful is this: when bad things happen, look for the path of obedience. No matter why, there will always be a path of obedience. Whether the reason was God or the reason was somebody else or the reason was you, there is always a path of obedience in the middle of whatever you're going through. Sometimes it involves repentance. Sometimes that path is painful. Sometimes that path may require patient endurance. And you might ask this question in the middle of it: well, does a bad thing ever become a good thing? Yes, absolutely. Scripture, you look at that. The biggest example of that is Jesus' crucifixion. Bad thing. God used it to be a good thing. He made the crucifixion of his son into salvation for the world. So we're saying the crucifixion was a good thing? No, I'm not saying it was a good thing. It was a bad thing. You don't kill Jesus and call that a good thing. Not by itself, but because of the obedience of Christ plus the resurrection, then it became a good thing. That's how God made it into a good thing. The intentions of the crowd that said, crucify him, that was bad. The Romans who killed him, the soldiers who killed him, bad. But God used the bad and overcame the good. I like this quote. Somebody said this: the path of obedience always takes the high road. It tells the truth even if the truth brings pain. It refuses to return evil for evil, even when vengeance is within reach. It's thankful even when there's not much to be thankful for. It walks with integrity even when no one else does. It does the right thing even when the right thing doesn't work out so well. See, if we're focused on it working out and being great, then we're going to do some wrong things. It's going to lead us down a bad path. But if we seek for the path of obedience, that's what God's looking for from us. The other thing to do if bad things happen and they're happening to you, when bad things happen, receive poor words with mercy. I don't like the way I wrote that sentence, but there it is. Okay. Receive poor words with mercy. In other words, I didn't bring up the things that the pastor said yesterday to beat on the pastor and say, you know, any bad things about him. I was just using an example for you because it's common. He did a great job, and I'm sure the family is encouraged and comforted by that. So it's good, all right? This morning, some of you moms, any moms of younger children, you receive any kind of handmade card from your little ones, okay? Yeah, yeah. You remember that when your little ones, some of you moms with older kids now, you remember they'd bring you these cards and they'd handmade them, they'd drawn them, you know, it looked like crayons threw up on the paper, right? You know, and somehow or the other, it sort of said mom, and oh, that's me. Oh, it looks like a hideous monster, but oh, thank you. Okay. You received it with mercy because you knew the intent that was there. Okay. And there's no reason to look at people when they say things like this to you: well, everything happens for a reason. Oh, God must be doing something special in your life. And I know you want to hit him in the face. Receive it with mercy because the intent is encouragement. The intent is good, even when the execution may not be what you're looking for, all right? If you go through a tragedy, whether a death or cancer or something horrible, and people do a painful job with their encouragement, just remember to look at it like it's bad artwork from your child. They're trying, so recognize the intent. And finally, if you're the one trying to offer encouragement to someone, don't rely on poor theology. Bad things are bad, not good. cancer isn't a blessing in disguise. Sickness and death are not things to be desired. No one wants to be blessed like that. Instead, when bad things happen, be biblical. This means be empathetic, be real, be hospitable, be humble, be helpful, not with words, with actions. Romans says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. By the way, that doesn't mean you tell them all your bad stories. You just weep with them, okay? Don't play, can you top this? Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all.